Y'all ready for this series? It's the Word series. This one's called Fix Your Mouth. Fix your mouth. Man, I truly believe that most of our problems that we deal with in life, in our everyday life, isn't just because of, you know, well, you got an enemy coming after you. And it's always somebody else's fault or and then people take, well, it's your fault. It could be our mouth. It could be what we say and do. See, there's spiritual laws here. You will reap what you sow. You will harvest what you plant. It says, give and it shall be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men pour into your bosoms. That's a principle. That is a law. That is a spiritual law. And a spiritual law is you will have what you say. That's a law. And you can cancel that out. But that is a spiritual law. So we have to learn to fix our mouths. And sometimes it can get away from us. Sometimes we want to punch somebody in the throat. I don't know where y'all get that from. But you have to fix your mouth. Proverbs 18:21. We know the scripture. This is the New Living Translation. Says this. Says that the tongue can bring death or life. Do you have New King James Version on there? It don't matter what version you put on there. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Everybody say, my tongue, my life. Don't allow anybody to speak any death over your life. You better counter it. Because you'll get to maybe that is true. Maybe that is right. Maybe I am no good. Maybe I can't do this thing. Maybe I can't start that business. Maybe I shouldn't go into pre-law or what have you. You'll allow people to talk you out of something that God has placed on the inside of you. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. And it's vital who you allow speak into your life. It's vital for you to speak what the Word of God says about you. So if you're having some self-esteem issues, the Word will help you out. Not no smalls group. People love small groups and stuff like that, but the Word of God, it's more potent than anything else. Sometimes small groups are just kind of, everything's going to be okay. Okay, that's good, but where's the meat at? Where's the substance at? Where's the Word at? Sometimes we just kind of cater to our feelings and emotions. And listen, it's not a bad thing to have feelings and emotions, because feelings and emotions came from God. But we don't allow those feelings and emotions to govern our lives. Faith does. You speak unbelieving words or talk about the situation rather than what we say, what we want to see. We have to speak it. What you want to see, you have to speak it. You want a peaceful home, you have to speak it. Not just speak it, but you have to act on it. You've got to start changing up things. But I can back up a taste. Starts here. Then here. It's getting the Word in you. I'm just not a reader, Pastor Tim. I can't read that long. Y'all ever open up your Bible and then just started falling asleep? Am I the only one? Sometimes that happens. But like we talked about, determination, diligence, doing those things that you don't want to do, those going to pay off. In James 3, 1 through 12, it says this, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is perfect. He is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. See, teachers have the ability to influence the way people think and can lead them astray or down the wrong path. That's important that we don't do that. Heaven notices what you say. All of heaven knows is what you say, what the things you say. It could be just by yourself. Heaven knows that. It's amazing when people say, well, I tried doing that sort of thing. I tried that faith thing and it didn't work. How'd you get saved then? The faith thing works. If you want your spiritual life to be under control, you do that by allowing the Holy Spirit to help. No man can bridle his tongue. The Holy Spirit helps us do that. Your tongue is a deadly instrument and it can turn your life upside down if you can't bring it under control. Verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. Spirit-filled man can. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Being full of Scripture and full of the Holy Spirit is the only way that you can bring your tongue under submission. You can't do it in your natural self. That's impossible. When you get done worshiping our Heavenly Father, when we get done being here at the church and everything else, what do we do? What do our kids? I said, here's the thing. I said, we've done this before too. Got into the car. They said something we didn't like. Snapped on them that quick. Went off on them. If you don't shut your... Nah, we didn't cuss. I don't do that. My wife... No, she's good. Sometimes we can have all that planned out, good, looking good on Sundays. Man, we can look good on Sundays. But what do we do when we get outside here on Monday? When you're working on that car, when you're working on a house and something don't happen, and then boom, hit your hand or something like that, and something fall on your foot, and what comes out of your mouth? Gosh, darn, shucks. You know those old wholesome words there. Just like it set the whole body on fire, on the other side of that, it can soothe like aloe vera. Man, have you ever spoke something so, I mean, someone ever spoke something into you and it was just like, man, I needed that word today. That was something I was needing. Those are people you want around you. Those are people you want in your camp. Those are people you want in your circle that's going to speak those types of things into you. Not to just make you feel good, but to bring you back to the truth of God's word. And sometimes God's word isn't sugar-coated. This is what his word says about it. Proverbs 6 says this. I'll show you how important this is. It says, a proud look. It says, these six things the Lord hates, yet seven are an abomination to him. It says, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Top seven. Three of the seven have to do with your mouth. Remember, God created all things by speaking things into existence. Three of the seven things that he hates is what we deal with our mouth, the lying tongue, a false witness who will speak lies, and someone who sows discord among the brethren. Let you know that this stuff is very, very important. So we have to fix our mouth. Matthew 15 says this. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceeded out of the mouth come from the heart and they defile a man. But out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. What comes out of our mouth defiles us, not what we put in. It's what comes out. So let me get personal. So when somebody leaves Westview Church and goes somewhere else because, you know, they just don't like Pastor Tim, they don't like somebody else in here. Here's the thing. Do you bless them or curse them when they leave? That's what sometimes church members, the body, will curse them, talk about them, say all these other things. Well, we don't need them. Listen, that's not where my faith is. I'm going to show you where my faith is, and hopefully we can all get there. My faith is if one leaves, I'm believing 10 more families coming in that'll love God, that will serve in every which way. God bless you. You still part of the kingdom. I hope you do go somewhere else. Hopefully you'll find what you're looking for. But I'm believing for 10 more. Ain't no need for me to get all bent out of shape. I'll go and talk to them or what have you. And if they leave, they feel that I was their pastor, they need to come and talk to me. But I'm not going to curse them, because you will reap what you. Come on. These are spiritual laws. Mark 11. We all know the scripture. Brother Hagin taught this many, many times. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. God doesn't move the mountain in your life. People are waiting for God to move a mountain. God does not move a mountain in your life. It obeys your voice. It obeys your words. Put the Amplified version on there. Truly I tell you, whosoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him. God does not move the mountain in your life. You have to move it with your words. So get to flapping. You say it, and you believe it. And when you believe it, you believe that you received what you said. Tells us to have faith in God. That whatever we ask for in prayer, God will forgive them if they are living in unforgiveness. But it didn't say God will remove the mountain. You remove it. It will move and it will obey your voice. Well, what is a mountain? A mountain. Sometimes we can make mountains out of molehills by talking about it, making it bigger and bigger and bigger. But either way, you can remove it. Any insurmountable problem that is in your life, you know it's ungodly, you know it's wrong, you have to speak to it. And there are scriptures for your situation in his word. But you have to speak to the mountain and it will obey each and every one of your voices. It doesn't matter how old you are, as long as you have faith in God and you believe what you're saying, it will move. Any addiction, it will move. Any sickness, it will move. It has to obey your voice. Unrepentant sin will block the power of God in our lives. You know, because sin will make you a coward. And you won't have the ability to stand up and speak to that mountain because you don't think you're worthy enough. Get it repented. Repentance just means change your mind. Turn from it. Change your mind. Doesn't mean slinging snot. Doesn't mean that. It means to change your mind. And once you do, you're right back in line with his word. You don't have to feel guilty. The enemy will condemn you. He'll make you feel guilty. People will make you feel guilty over what you've done. Job 6. Job had a problem. Job said, "Teach me and I will hold my tongue." Job lost all of his property, his children. Satan attacked his health with painful boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. His wife was saying, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" You talk about somebody having a bad day. But Job says, "Teach me and I will hold my tongue." This stuff happened before the books were written. Job didn't have Proverbs 18:21. So he couldn't go to the word. But I believe that God reserves the right to be able to reveal his word to people at a certain time. It wasn't that time for Job to know that. That's why he never sinned. It wasn't for him to know. How can he know that? If it's in our, I said, we can sin by saying it, but Job didn't because it wasn't out. It wasn't in the news. It wasn't in the word yet. Fixing your mouth isn't about speaking, not speaking at all. I've done that before. I had, you know, I don't know if y'all heard my mute story. Y'all heard my mute story before? I was in ninth grade. And I was at a basketball game. We were playing our rival, Camarillo. And this guy, Jose, I was standing up and there was a girl right next to him, Nicole. And I said, "What's up?" to him. And she said, "Hey," she kind of like waved at me and stuff. And I didn't say anything. I just went like that because I was, you know, shy. And she says, "Does he not talk?" He goes, "No, he's mute." So for the whole year, I pretended I was mute every time I was around this girl. We would be at lunch and I'd be signing to him. To my friends and stuff, and they'd be signing back and everything else, and it was a great performance. Until the last day of school year when I worked up the nerve to go and talk to her and tell her, you know, I said, "Hi, my name is Tim," and I started saying some stuff and acting like it was hard to come out and stuff. She was like, "Oh," I said, "Actually, I can really talk. I was just playing." For the whole year? Yeah, for the whole year. The whole year, man. I was an Oscar. But he doesn't want us speaking in that sense of where it's destroying and tearing down people's lives. It's to get the devil up out of your life, up out of other people's lives. It's not to tear each other. There's a jacked up situation going on with people and their family. There's the enemy behind all of that. And sometimes we want to fight with each other, and it's not really the fight, it's the spirit behind and what they're yielded to. So we can get all caught up fighting one another, but it isn't going to come to no avail because there's a spirit behind it. James 4. We know James 4:7 says this. Can you go to that one? 4:7. Says this. "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now we looked at this scripture and have said, well, if you got a lot of junk coming against you, well, then you need to submit yourself to God and resist the devil. That's not what this scripture is talking about. That word, therefore, is there for a reason. You have to go back and find out in verse 1 what he's talking about in context. Go to verse 1 now. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? See, James was teaching his readers, hey, you know, you're not supposed to be fighting and arguing with each other like this. Where's it coming from? Everybody want to point the finger. It's their fault. He's saying, no, it's your fault. It's coming from within. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. When you begin to war and wage war against somebody else, he's saying, you submit to God and resist the devil so that you won't covet what your neighbor has. So you won't take what belongs to them. All you have to do is ask me. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, it shall be given to you. But you're asking for something that doesn't belong to you. You're asking for something that is not part of the redemption. You're asking for something that you may spend it upon yourself. You're asking for something because you're being selfish. Or you're trying to take from someone else. This is why it doesn't come to you. People, we don't have to try to go after somebody else's position, somebody else's job or what have you, and tear them down in order to replace them and what have you. That's not from God. Therefore, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. Because that's the devil telling you to do that. Quiet. If it's really from God, people try to take over other people's businesses, churches, things of that nature. I said, listen, if it's really from God and God has called you to do that, he will have you start something else yourself rather than try to destroy somebody else in the process of doing it. Submit yourself to God. We want everybody else. Well, that's the reason why you got a lot of junk going on in your life. It's because all this stuff is coming against you and you're not submitted to God. Well, you know, this is how the enemy works. I said, no. That is how the enemy works. But you got to understand that when you're the one doing those things to someone else, you're supposed to submit yourself to God and resist the devil. And then he will flee from you and then you can make some good quality decisions that are in line with his word. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, when we have people over our house, sometimes we say, make yourselves at home. That doesn't mean going into every room. That means you have a seat right there, and if there's something you need, I can get it for you. You want to lean back and you want to pillow behind? Okay, make yourself at home. But that doesn't mean go all up in my room, go all up in my closet, all up in the attic and stuff and check out everything you want to check out. That's not what that means. Let the word of Christ. So when we allow God's word in us, God wants access to every room in our hearts. And we might have, I love the Lord over here, but he's okay here. And as far as getting me ready for church on Sundays and stuff, my heart's right there. But when it comes to my finances, oh no, Lord, you can't go in that room right there. You can't go in that room. When it comes to sharing, serving. No, Lord, you can't come in that room. I don't want to touch that. You just stay right here. You want to throw a pillow? And this is the way sometimes we treat God, because we don't allow him access into every room in our hearts. Every compartment, every place in our hearts, that's where he wants to dwell in. Nope, not my relationships. I got my relationships on. I'm on Tinder. I'm looking for something, Lord. I'm looking for a date. Well, why don't you let God help you with that, so you don't get some jacked up freak out there knocking on your door. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Your words. The mountain obeys your words. I had a cousin who was getting ready to get back surgery done. This is years ago. And I was out in California a few years back. Actually, it was for my dad's funeral. And I was sitting there watching the game. And I believe San Francisco and Kansas City was playing 2014. And San Francisco won. And I think KC won the next year right after that, right? 2015? Yeah, okay. But I was kind of rooting for the Giants. But my cousin ends up telling me, they were talking, and I wasn't paying attention. I was paying attention in the game. And they go, "Do you remember that, Tim?" I was like, "What's that?" He goes, "Remember when you prayed for me when I was in the house?" I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Well, the story is my cousin, her brother, had messaged me and told me to keep my cousin in prayer, his sister. Jack that one up. And I said, "All right, I'll do that." So I began just praying in the Holy Spirit. Because she was getting ready to have back surgery, and she doesn't like the anesthesia, and so she was fearful of that. Well, so I began praying in the Spirit, and I did that for about 5-10 minutes. Don't know what I prayed for at that time, but I do know in hindsight later on what I did pray for. But then I get a call from my dad. She has the surgery. I get a call from my dad, and he goes, "Hey, call your cousin up and just leave a message on her phone. Pray for her on her phone." And I did. And I prayed out what I was praying in the Spirit. Well, what happened was they couldn't wake her up. She didn't come out of the anesthesia. And so what they played for her on the phone was me praying for her. Those words. The word of God woke her up. Yay, God. Come on. Your words mean something. But if you don't believe what you're saying, then when you pray, it's not going to mean anything to you. It's just going to be, even when you quote in Scripture, there's a lot of people who quote Scripture but don't do anything with it. These are seeds. It's one of the most powerful things in the world is His Word. And sometimes we just treat it like it's just another book on a coffee table. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. I don't know if you remember those in the 80s City Slickers. Y'all ever watch that? "Come and get me." The Bible saying, "Come and get me, come and get me. Pick me up, pick me up." Fix your mouth. And you're going to start changing your environment. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So there's principalities behind those things that are coming. You're having a tough time with people. I'm telling you, there's a demon behind that, and you have authority over it. So use your authority. I don't know how to use my authority. I said, hey, Wednesday night, June 29th, we're going to have a powerful service. It'll be a full service. So come expecting. Because we're going to get into the word, and we're going to get into your authority and what you're called to do in every which way. But as for now, you can get on YouTube and find out Authority of the Believer. And just listen over and over and over again. Have your Bible ready. Get some notes. Brother Hagin preaches a good one, and so do several other people. But your authority is important. And you have authority over situations that's affecting your family and your friends and what's on your job and things like that. Your boss acting crazy. That's a demon. Amen. Fix your mouth. Fix your mouth. Turn to your name and say, fix your mouth. Kids are like, I don't want to tell my mom that. I don't want to tell my dad that. Stop speaking doubt and unbelief. The mountain will obey your voice, your words, when you speak it. You have to believe it, though. Ain't nothing happened. Let me share with you what helps me. If you're willing to wait forever, you won't have to wait too long. I'm willing to wait forever. Things that the Lord showed me, the things that I've spoken, I'm still waiting on them to manifest. I haven't backed down off of it. I am fully healed. That was probably one of the most hardest things ever in my life to do. I couldn't talk. I couldn't use the word of God over me. That, excuse my language, sucked. Because I couldn't do what I knew to do. I almost have to just blink. That's why. Blink if you're right. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm healed. But you have your voice. Use it. Use it over your kids. Use it over your marriage. Use it over your business. Use it over your family. Children, your grandchildren, use it. Don't you dare back down. Well, you acting weird. I don't care. Because I want to see God's fullness. His words come to pass in your life. That's what I want to see in your life. So don't you dare back down. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can use your word in our everyday lives. Father God, as we continue on in this series, that you will begin to reveal your word to us more and more. We thank you. We come expecting, not just on Sunday, but every single day, we expect to see a change, not only in our lives, but our families and our friends. And in this city, Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. June 29th, come on out. It'll be good. It'll be a night service. It'll be a prayerful event.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.